The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
Take your Bibles out and turn to Jeremiah chapter 18 and 19. Jeremiah chapter 18 and 19. This morning we're going to go on a field trip in your mind. Okay. So just, there's no buses out there. Just stay where you're at. We want to see some lessons that God has for us, some important lessons. We can't take a field trip. You can't go to my potter's shop. There's too many of you. Not going to be able to fit in. But so I bought my potter's shop, at least part of it here. And we're going to look at what God has for us to understand who he is and who we are. Object lessons are valuable, effective. Going from the known to the unknown, from the seen to the unseen, from the physical to the spiritual. Jesus used object lessons on a regular basis. We see several in the Old Testament. We're looking at one today, Jeremiah 18 and 19. Now, during our journey here, we're going to go down to the potter's house, and two challenges from Jeremiah 18 and 19 that invite us to evaluate where we are spiritually. Where are you spiritually? Two different chapters, complementary, and at the end of our time together in God's Word, I'm going to ask you a personal question. Are you in chapter 18 or are you in chapter 19? Only two choices. Where do you find yourself spiritually? Well, the first challenge, Jeremiah chapter 18, where are we spiritually in relationship to God? Where are we spiritually in relationship to God? Our first challenge is set forth by three questions right here in Jeremiah chapter 18. The first question is, what was Jeremiah told to do? Look at your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Now the context, Judah, Jerusalem, Jeremiah is in Jerusalem in the middle of Judah, and they are really struggling. They had King Josiah was a good king, but he kind of went his own way, and God set him aside, and then those that followed him were ungodly. And they had a relationship with another important nation, Babylon. You ever hear of Babylon? And Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar was about fed up with Judah. And God was going to use Babylon to chasten his people, Judah. They were in a desperate situation. But God was still there. God was still in control. God was still willing to destroy Judah. But God was willing to restore Judah if she would repent. Nebuchadnezzar and his armies were probably on the way, and God could have said, stop! Go back! Leave Judah alone. Now, that's the context. That's the situation here when Jeremiah is told to go down to the potter's house. Now, for him to go to the potter's house, that was nothing unusual. Every city of any significant size had probably more than one. Jerusalem probably had several potter's houses. Listen, you can't go to Walmart. You can't even go Amazon and do that for your shopping. If you want to get some Tupperware, you want to get some mugs or whatever, you go down to the potter's house. Look at the text. Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Why? Why did he have to go down to the potter's house? To learn a lesson to teach to Judah. God was going to illustrate truth, make it very plain, use an object lesson. Notice the text. Here, the word that's in the original language carries with the idea of to listen with the intent to do something about it. Not like my grandmother used to say, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Let it rattle around in your brain. Think about it and do something with that. Hear my words. More than just listen. We come to the second question. What did Jeremiah see? Jeremiah was told to go down to the potter's house. By the way, between verse 2 and 3, Jeremiah's not asking any questions. That's a good lesson for all of us. You listen to the word of the Lord, and then you just do what he says. Jeremiah could say, I went down there last week. It's on the other side of town. Why? How about later? No, God speaks, and we need to look at the text. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he, the potter, wrought a work on the wheels. What did Jeremiah see? He went down to the potter's house, and he saw a potter right in the middle of working on a potter's wheel. Now, look on the screen. There's a diagram of the potter's wheel. Look at it. Worked on the wheels, plural. It's not a little tiny wheel that you would use for decorating. It's the potter's wheel. Now, I'm cheating. This is electric. I do have a potter's wheel like the one on the screen at home. It has wheels, plural, a small wheel on the top. That's what you would throw the and fashion the pot on. And then it had a big, heavy wheel on the bottom, and you'd kick it. It's called a kick wheel. And that was either made out of stone, later on iron, and that weight would keep the potter wheel going so that you can fashion. This is what he saw, what you see on the screen there. Not just a little decorating wheel, kind of turn it around, but the potter's wheel to form and to make the particular piece of pottery. Well, let's go down to the potter's house, and you'll be able to see what Jeremiah saw. Look at the text. Behold, wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made, I'm going to slide this up just a little bit, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. And then what did he do with that? Well, we're going to look at what Jeremiah saw here. Now, you use just enough water for a lubricant. And when Jeremiah got down to the potter's house, it was already in the process. The clay had been centered, and it was beginning to form in the shape. The vessel you pull with one hand outside and one hand inside. And when he got down there, notice the text here. The vessel, that which he was working on, was marred in the hand of the potter. There's a problem. Now listen, the problem isn't with the potter. God is a master potter. You read the commentaries and said, well, the clay was too wet. No, the potter knows to get the clay in the right state. Well, the wheel is going too fast. Well, yeah, if you get the wheel going too fast, you guys are in trouble. It's in your face. That's not the problem. Here's the problem. There's a stone in the clay. Are you with me? God's the potter. We're the clay. And what's going to mess you up, what's going to mess me up, is the world is sin. It doesn't belong in our lives. See, stones don't belong in clay. Now, what are you going to do? We'll go back to the text here. So he made it another vessel as seemed good to the potter. He didn't take that clay and just discard it. Listen, you and I were made in the image of God. We are special. God loves us. God loves us so much that he gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we could be redeemed. But we're talking about a vessel. We're talking about one who belongs to God. And so then what Jeremiah saw is that he took that clay over to the wedging table and he reworked it. It's kind of like kneading bread. All of my children enjoyed coming to the potter's house and watching Dad. They saw me do that. It's sitting on a table. They look around. Dad's not looking. That doesn't taste good. That's not bread. It's a piece of clay. So he saw Jeremiah, or he saw the potter, get the clay ready and put it back on the potter's wheel. By the way, that's how it got its name, throwing. We had a friend that my wife was talking to, oh, mercy days, several decades ago. When your husband throws clay, does he feel good? She thought I, you know, took clay and just throw it around and now I, you know, getting rid of my frustration. No, it's probably the most insignificant, but this is the first step. So they say throwing pottery. So you throw it on the wheel. So Jeremiah saw the potter. Center the clay. His hands are very firm. His hands on you and I. You pull the clay up, you push it down to get it in the center. And then you have to open up the middle. One hand inside, one hand out. Pulling it up. Now you take a tool, a needle. Go. Just kind of even that up. Want to neck it in just a little bit.
Now, if you push in from the outside, it bellies out. Push out, in from the outside. And Jeremiah is observing the potter with great skill, making the vessel. Again, I point you back to the text. He made another vessel, another of the same kind, of the same desire, of the same intended purpose, because God is the one that's in control. As it seemed good, as it pleased him. Now you can take another tool, go on the outside, and smooth that off a bit. And the vessel that was marred has been reclaimed and thrown. That's what Jeremiah saw. He went down to the potter's house. Right in the middle of a piece of pottery being made, there was a problem. It was marred. He removed it. He prepared it. And then he put it back on the potter's wheel. And he made it just as he originally intended. Isn't God a great God? And that's what he wants to do with each of us. He wants to make vessels of honor, vessels to be used. What's the third question? I said there are three questions. One, what was Jeremiah told to do? He's told to go down to the potter's house. What did he saw? What did he see? He saw a piece of pottery being made. And then notice verse 2. It says, cause thee to hear my words. See, Jeremiah saw, and then Jeremiah listened. What did Jeremiah hear? What did Jeremiah hear? Look at the text. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, here it is, look at it in the text. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. He's the potter, we're the clay. He fashions and he molds us as vessels that he can use us. Notice that then the word of the Lord came to me saying. He saw the object lesson and then the explanation, the application. You see, here it is. The Lord is the one that's in control. And the Lord's people were responsible to be faithful and to be obedient. Look at verses 8, 9, and 10. If a nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. They're going in the wrong direction and they turn around and they get going in the right direction. God says, I'm going to pull back the chastening. I'll change because you changed. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build or to plant it. And then verse 10, if it do evil in my sight that it not obey my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I have said I would benefit them. God on Mount Sinai said, I'll be your God, you might be my people, and you obey me, and I'll take care of you, I'll protect you, I'll provide for you. And that's my covenant, that's my promise, but it was conditional on their obedience, and they went the other direction. So all that was blessing was now going to be withheld, and chastening was going to replace that. Now here's the challenge. Don't miss it. Chapter 18, verse 11. Now therefore go. You've seen, you've heard, now you go and you speak, Jeremiah. You share this message with Judah. Now therefore go and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord. By the way, when we open this book, it's all thus saith the Lord, full authority. Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. I'm going to chasten Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, his armies. They're on the way. But I'm giving you one last chance. Will you repent? Now notice, return ye now. Don't miss it. Everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. It's a personal thing. Everyone, not just you as a body of people, Judah, not just you collectively at PCC, campus church, your family, individual. It's a choice we must make. You see, God was serious. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things. Jump down to verse 17. I will scatter them as with the east wind before the enemy, and I will show them the back and not the face. There's going to be a day when God's going to turn his back and just say, you've gone the wrong direction. It's a day of calamity. Now, what was their response? And they said, verse 18, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. No, we're not going to listen. We're not going to obey. We're going to reject. Come, let us smite him with the tongue and let us not give heed unto any of his words. Nonsense. We don't have time. We could go over to the book of Ezekiel, a contemporary of Jeremiah. And the presence of the Lord left the temple patiently, step by step by step, because they had turned their back on him. Challenge number one, remain pliable in the hands of God, the master potter. We come to Jeremiah chapter 19, and we have the second challenge. It's a final warning. Where are you spiritually in relationship to sin? Where are you spiritually in relationship to sin? Now, Jeremiah is instructed to go back down to the potter's house. This time not to watch the potter, but to make a purchase. Look at the text here, Jeremiah chapter 19. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the earthen vessel, earthen bottle, and take the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priest, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entered of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell thee. So Jeremiah was told to go back down to the potter's house, and he says, I want you to purchase not just something that you want, I want you to purchase a bottle. So he goes and looks. God said, purchase a bottle. Oh, here's a bottle. This is what he bought. Now, it's an onomatopoetic word in the Hebrew. When you put liquid in a and you pour it out, you know, it kind of gurgles. That's the word that he bought. So go get a bottle. Gather together the secular leadership. Gather together the religious leadership. And then go down in the valley of Hinnom. I've been there.
Back in Jeremiah's day, it was a city dump. Broken pieces of pottery everywhere. New Testament uses the word Gehenna. There were fires burning everywhere. And he took all the, come on, all you leaders, all you religious leaders, all you secular leaders, and down to the valley of Hinnom, he says, I got a message from God. And he broke the bottle. That's what he's told to do. Object lesson. You're hardened with your sin. Can't be put on the potter's wheel and fashion. I can't cut out what needs to be cut out. You're hardened with your sin. You see, God's final warning through Jeremiah. Now, say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, that which whatsoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. You're not going to want to hear it. Because you have forsaken me, have estranged this place, have burnt incense to other gods. All these things that David, in fact, you know, that it says elsewhere in the Old Testament that Israel's, as they were looked at by the other nations, they were saying, I can't believe you're doing that. They out-sinned the other nations. They were worse than the world. They even burdened their children in that valley to Molech. Offered sacrifices of their children. The details of the coming Babylonian invasion siege is given in verses 7, 8, and 9. Jump into the text here at verse 10. Then thou shalt break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, even I will break this people and this city, as one breaketh the potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet. You say, well, how about we just get the pieces and we'll glue it back together? It's never going to be the same. It's never going to be the same. We have to deal with sin. Be pliable. Let the Lord shape us. And then don't let ourselves get hardened. Once fired, once hardened, cannot be remade. See, Jeremiah told the city, he returned to the temple court, verses 14 and 15. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet, and whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house, and he said to all the people, you see, the leaders, they didn't listen. They didn't want to hear. It gives the opportunity for the people, everyone, by the way, chapter 18. He says the same thing, thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it. Why? Because they have hardened their necks, hardened by sin, that they might not hear my words. A first warning, a second warning. Well, what do you think the response is? Look at chapter 20. Now, Pashur, the son of Emer, the priest, was also chief governor in the house of the Lord. He heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things, and he smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in stocks, not listening. Still rejection. See, Jeremiah chapter 18, while you are pliable, we submit to God. He's the master potter. Jeremiah chapter 19, hardened in sin, God's stern judgment. And every one of us in here, those watching later,
in Vito Chapel. We have to make the choice. Are we living in Jeremiah chapter 18 or are we living in Jeremiah chapter 19? No other choices. Pliable in the hands of God or recipients of his chastening because of our hardness of heart. Are we pliable in the hands of the Lord? Willing to be directed and shaped by the Lord? He's the master potter. He has a design for each one of our lives. Yes, there are problems. There's issues. There's sin. But don't let sin harden our heart, cause us to be stiff-necked. Remember the master potter. He can deal with that. Confess your sin. He will cleanse us from all that. We'll get back where we need to be. Will we remain pliable in his hands? Why? So he wants to use us. His blessings be poured out through us. That was his design for Israel, to be the vessel to pour out his blessings on the whole earth. That's his design for you. For me, to pour his blessings out through your life to others around us, and then to bring honor to him. Now, go back to Jeremiah chapter 18 as we close, and we need to make this personal. Insert your name. Jeremiah chapter 18, I'm reading verse 6, and I'll do it out loud, and you do it in your mind. Carl, cannot I do with you as this potter? Behold, the clay is in the potter's hand. So are you, Carl, in my hand. Are you listening, Carl? See, the key is to remain pliable in the hand of the master divine potter. Two challenges from Jeremiah chapter 18 and 19. The Lord invites us to evaluate where we are spiritually. As we look into the perfect law of liberty, be a hearer and not just, or be a doer, not just a hearer only. We look at Jeremiah chapter 18 and says, yeah, that's where I need to be. In relationship to him, pliable in his hands. In relationship to chapter 19, sin. Am I becoming hardened in my heart by sin? Am I becoming stiff-necked? A simple question. A choice that each one of us, those watching later, those sitting before me, those behind me on the platform, those and the side in the loge. Today, we will make that choice. That's a fact. Today, we will make that choice. I plead with you. Choose to live in Jeremiah chapter 18 and not Jeremiah chapter 19.
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.